Good morning, church family. Please stand for scripture reading. Today's scripture will be found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 4 and 5. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Please remain standing, for in his time.
Let's sing intro to the Word of God, In Your Time.
In your time, in your time. Teaching us your way, that you do just what you say in your time, in your time, in your time, you
gracious, loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for everything that you've done to us up to this point, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful plan that you have for the rest of each and every one of our lives, Lord. Lord, we all have the same desire, and that desire is to become closer to you and to go home with you one day very soon, Lord. Lord, help us to be able to, at this moment, reflect upon the words that we have heard from many speakers, from many faithful servants that you have sent to speak unto us. Help us to reflect what we've done with those words and what we're going to do with those words going forward, Lord. So just please bless this message, Lord, to each and every one of us. Help us to put it into practice and help us to get closer to you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Good morning, church family. Happy Sabbath. Thank you so much for the wonderful invitation to be with you today. I don't know if you, the rest of you, have the same problem that I have, but I often have a problem of memorization or to remember things. I have the thing that happens is it goes one in through one ear and comes out the other ear. And it's really interesting that the things that I want to remember, I forget, and the things that I don't care about, I remember. The last time I went to the airport, I parked my truck in 42B. I remember, I can still see the image of that sign right there. Why am I remembering 42B? I worked a lot with plants, so I know hundreds, possibly even thousands of plants by their botanical and their scientific name. Pittosporum, Lagerstromia, Quercus wisleysnii. I mean, all of these names that I don't even use or that don't even mean anything to me anymore. And I'll tell you this one. QUC-4177-03P. QUC-4177-03P. That is the number that was written on the bunk bed that I slept on for years when I was a child. I haven't slept on that bed for 30 years, but I can still remember the letters and numbers that were written on top of the bunk bed. My brother always slept on the top, I slept on the bottom, so when I looked up, there was that serial number written there. Why do I still know that? I mean, I should have forgotten it by now. I haven't seen that number, but I will remember that number probably until the day that I die. Somebody will say, what was the number on that bunk bed? And I'm going to say, QUC4177-03P. And so my brother and I took turns. Sometimes I would sleep on the top bunk bed. Sometimes he would be on the bottom. And he still remembers that number as well. Right? So why do I remember that? And then there are things that I forget. Because I do a good job of keeping the useless facts in my head, but then there are things that I really want to remember, the verses that I really want to memorize that I struggle with at times. So, brothers and sisters, there has been a verse that has been in my mind since I read it for several weeks and possibly even a month now. And that verse really touched me, and I loved what it said, and I've been reflecting on what that said for weeks now, and I would like to share that with you so we can all do some reflection together as a church, as a congregation, and as a family. And I have purposely kept this verse in my thoughts and in my mind because I want it there, and I want other things there. I want to improve my memory. I want to improve the filtration of things that I need in my mind and the filtration of things that I don't need in my mind. I want to keep in the good. I want to hold in all of what's here because this is what really matters. And all of us from this stage here, from here and from other churches and all over and videos, we have heard and we have seen some incredible things. Some incredible passages, some incredible experiences. And we have led active lives, and we have seen the active, moving, working hand of God in our lives. But where are those memories? Where are the words we have heard stored? Where are the words we have read stored? Where are those experiences and those memories stored in our brains and in our minds and in our hearts? I'll read this verse with you. It's Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. And it says this, therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So that's the verse that has been in my mind and been in my heart, and I have been repeating and repeating and thinking about and thinking about. What are those things that I have heard? What are those wonderful passages in the Bible that I have heard and I've experienced? What were they? Where did I hear them? And where are they in me now, in my heart now? The title of this message is, what have we done with what we have heard? It's what we've done, and where are the things that we have heard? What have we done with the words that at one point changed our lives? The words that brought us from outside of the church to then inside of the church to having a wonderful relationship with God, seeing Him and experiencing God. What have we done with those words that have impacted our lives so much? Where do they live today? Those words that we once learned, where are they? Are they still in our hearts? Or do we store these words, these precious words that we've heard, just in some random location? And then when we need them, we fumble through them. You know, like car keys. When we need them, we can't find them. When we don't need them, they're right there. They're always on us. Because God never wants us to have His words outside of our hearts and outside of our minds. He wants us to hear and put these everything that we've heard into our lives and experience them and use them. Because one day soon, we might not have this to rely on, right? So all we're going to have are those memories and are those thoughts. And we find that in different experiences in our life today, because not all the time can we just pull out our Bible and start fumbling through it and start to find the verses, right? Sometimes we're in a bad situation and we really want these comforting words, these guiding words, and we're looking for them, and we forget where they are and we forget what they are, so we just start looking through them, and we need to have those with us, those words with us all the time. So again, I want to ask that, so that you ponder and you think about and reflect on where in our minds and our hearts are the words stored that once transformed us, right? The words of truth that we have heard, the words on the Sabbath, on our health, on the creation, on the state of the dead, all of these words of truth that we have found, where are they in our hearts? Where are the words of triumph? The words that came to us when we needed, the words that dug us out from the deepest pit in our lives that we have been in, where are those words? We used them at one point to come out and to be triumphant and to win over the enemy and to change our lives, but where are those words stored right now? The treasure. Where is the treasure in our hearts and our mind that when we were searching and digging through Scripture and we found them, it was like having the most precious gold, the biggest diamond we've ever found? Where are the words of treasure that we've heard and we've seen in our lives? And where are the words that our Savior gave us with His own lips, with His own being and being here and giving to the people? Where are those words, and what place do those words have in our lives today? Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if the verse in Hebrews is talking about to give more earnest heed to the words that we have heard, and hearing the word gives us our faith, then we should be paying more attention to the words that we hear, especially the words that come from the word of God. So those words we need to keep close to us. All of these words of truth and all of these words that have given us faith, we need to store them in our daily life, to cherish them so we can practice them, so we can have them all the time, and we can pull them out every time that we need them in our minds and reflect on them without even having to go to the Scripture. We can just have them with us in memory. But if you're like me and have a hard time with memory, then are these words sticking in? Where are we holding these words? And read the Bible more and keep them there. Memorize, search for the words. So we don't purposely neglect the word of God. We keep it with us. We keep these words with us. But little by little and with time sometimes, these things kind of float away. Or like the word says in Hebrews, it drifts away. Slowly drifting away. I know I shared one time with the children's story about being out in the ocean and floating and waiting for some waves, and all of a sudden, I didn't realize I was caught in a riptide and I was being pulled out to sea. I wasn't paying attention, and then slowly but surely, I was being drifted away, and then I realized, whoa, I'm a far place from where I once was. Now I have to get all the way back. So we need to deeply ingrain these passages and these words that we hear, because these are the words that give us our faith. So we need to keep them with us. So there's an interesting passage, and I think you've all have heard this story, and it takes place in Acts chapter 16. And in Acts chapter 16, we find that Paul and Silas are locked away in prison. And when they're locked away in prison, they are not very sad and they're not very down about it. They're actually praying and they're singing in prison. And they're doing that because they have the words, they have their faith, they have those words that they have once heard still with them. They've once heard them, but they're still with them. And an interesting thing happens that when they are singing and they are praying and they are having a good time in prison, being locked up, I've been locked up, I never had a good time like they did. Maybe I'll do it again in the future, maybe it'll happen, I'll be singing, right? But they're in prison and then they start singing and praying and then this big huge earthquake comes in. And the guard that is in charge of that prison area there gets scared, he wakes up, he goes down, and he thinks the gates are open. He thinks that these two are gone. Right? So right as he's about to take his life, this is what happened. It says this in Acts 16, 30 and 31. It says, he brought them out and said to them, sir, what must I do to be saved? So he sees them, Paul and Silas reach out and they say, hey, you don't have to kill yourself. We're still here. And at hearing those words, this jailer who was in charge then says, sir, what must I do to be saved? He probably heard them singing and was like, what are these guys? Nobody sings here. Nobody's praying. Nobody has the attitudes that you guys have when you're here. And now he says, what must I do to be saved? And then in verse 31, it says this. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. So did you catch that? Really quick and easily and simply, he says, to be saved, all you have to do is believe. Believe the words that you've heard. Believe what you have seen. Believe in Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's actually pretty simple. We make things a little bit more complicated than it is, right? We need to believe, and when we truly believe in something, we get behind that movement, and then we change, right? So they say, you need to believe, and that's what we need to do today, believe, and then God's going to take care of the rest. God's going to mold us. God's going to guide us through everything else. And then, so we see here, which is very interesting, we see the very simple fact of what you need to do to be saved, which is great. But also, there's a second part of that is what do we need to do to be lost? We think a lot about being saved, and that's great, and we all want to be saved, but what do we need to do to be lost? And what we need to do to be lost, I can reflect on a couple of different stories. One is the story of the rich young ruler. Hear me out here. Because the rich young ruler, he comes to Jesus and he basically asks the same question that the jailer was asking. He says, what do I need to do to be saved? Right? That's basically what the rich young ruler is saying to Jesus. And then Jesus says to him, we all know what he says to him, but the interaction there, we see that he followed the commandments. He didn't steal. He didn't commit adultery. He loved his parents. He was good to his neighbors. But we all know there was one thing, and he didn't want to share what was his with God and with others, right? He kept this, and he did. He avoided the first commandment, right, which says, thou shalt not have any gods before me, which he was putting his money and his riches and his treasures in front of him. So if we look at it like this way, he's asking what he needs to do to be saved. And what he needed to do to be lost was nothing. He just continued his life. So what we need to do to be lost is nothing. Absolutely nothing. So we have to do absolutely nothing to be lost. If we don't want to be saved, don't do anything. If you want to struggle in life, don't do anything. The words that you hear, don't pay attention to them. Continue doing what you're doing and you'll be lost. Do nothing and you'll be lost. And if we look at the world today, there are so many people that are lost because they're not doing anything. We live in a, especially here, not so much maybe in other countries, but here in the United States, a lot of people are lost because they do nothing. They don't get up. They don't even try to get a job. They don't try and work on the relationships. And they do absolutely nothing. And that's why we see this world that is struggling like it struggles now. So what do we do to be lost? Or what do we do to drift away? And the answer is still the same. Nothing, right? Do nothing if you want to drift away from God. So that means no prayer. Don't pray. Don't read the Word of God. Don't share with anybody. Don't go to church. Just sit there and do nothing if you want to be lost. That's what you need to do. Do nothing. Because to be saved, you have to do something. But to be lost, just do nothing. It's very simple, right? But if we look at James 4:17, if we say that we are Christians, right, and we want to be saved, look at James 4:17. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. So to know you have to do something and you don't do it is a sin, especially when it's talking about us as a church, as believers, right? So to do nothing is a sin. But this is what we see a lot of people do that profess to be Christians. They do nothing. They might come to church, but there's no sharing. There's no Bible studies. There's no real prayer life. There's no real devotional time with God. They do nothing. So God calls us to believe, but not just stay there. It's believe and then share. Right? Believe and share. So if we look back at the prison guard, right? He asked what he needed to do to be saved. And they said, you need to believe. But then it also says you and your family will be saved as well. Well, in order for his family to be able to be saved, they need to believe and he needs to tell them. So in order for him to be saved, he needed to believe, but he also needed to then go and share. So we are told that we need to believe and share. And then that's how our relationship keeps going, and that's how we continue to be ready to be saved, is if when we continue in our action, not doing nothing, we continue in action. So the thing is that if we forget everything that we hear, it's going to be pretty hard to continue to believe, and then it is going to be pretty hard to continue to share if we forget the things that we have heard. And I know a lot of you here, I've known a lot of you here for many years, we've heard a lot. We know what to do. And if we're not doing it, it's a sin. So the continuation of that verse in Hebrews says this, right? We talked about giving more earnest heed to the things that we have heard so that we don't drift away. The continuation of that is here in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. So it says this, for if the word spoken through angels provided steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard. So in those verses, what I caught out of there at this point that we want to talk about, there's more we could talk about with these verses, but it says right there, right in the middle, it says, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Right? And what is this salvation talking about? Right, this salvation is talking about to be able to be saved. And we're saved from the judgment that is going to come at one time. And this judgment is for this whole world. If we look at the original text and how it was written, the word neglect here is used as the word emelisantes, which means to disregard or to make light of. So if we neglect, that means we're making light of or we're disregarding. And there's another area in the Bible, another section in the Bible that we'll read real quick that uses this same word. And we find it in our scripture, which is Matthew 22, verses 4 and 5. It says this, and again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and fattened cattle are killed, and all are ready to come to the wedding. It says here, but they made light of it, and they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his business. And that's interesting, right? Because it says here, this is how most people are not going to be saved. And this is where a lot of people really struggle. They make light of the invitation they have heard, the invitation that has been given to them. They make light of it. They neglect it. They make light of God's commandments. They make light of our enemy and how our enemy slowly but surely can infiltrate our lives. And they make light of the word of God. And that is what is going to bring a lot of people to perish. So look at this example, because this is kind of almost like how we are now, right? Because we know that there is a marriage to come. We know that there is an invitation going out to this marriage, right? And there is a group of people that make light of this invitation, and they kind of neglect it, and they go, I got to go to work. I can't go to your wedding where there's going to be a feast and there's going to be all these wonderful things where Christ is going to, you know, bring his church and be together. I got something to do, right? People are making light of this. And Christ is offering salvation. And we can't escape. We can't escape this judgment. We can't escape this world if we neglect his word, if we make light of his word. So look at this real quick. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 26, it talks about a section in the Bible that we are very familiar with. And it says this, now when they got in a boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly a great tempest arose on the sea. Now you know which one I'm talking about, right? It says, so that boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful? How, you of little faith? He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. The disciples, for the longest time, when there was a storm going on, they neglected that they had Jesus Christ in the boat with them. Until they looked over and the flash of lightning came over and they saw Jesus still in the boat, they remembered, oh, wait, the Savior is with us. Our Lord is with us. They could have saved a lot of tears and a lot of scaredness and all that if they just would have remembered that Jesus was with them. If they would have just had the faith, right? They know they've heard about Jesus and what was happening. Why would they worry about perishing when Jesus was right there with him? They didn't need to. So at the time of this event, when Jesus was with the disciples in the boat, the disciples had already heard and seen many things. Right? They had seen Jesus pull out and take out demons out of people. They had seen him lift up a paralyzed man. They had seen him clean lepers and save lepers and clear, take out this disease that was just horrible and there was no cure for. They had seen Jesus do all of this. They'd seen him heal the centurion's servant without even being there. So they had seen and they had heard all of what Jesus had done, yet when one thing happened to them, they forgot it. They heard this word. They heard this word right here. If we see it in Matthew 6, 26. It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? They had heard these words, that God loves us, he's going to be with us, and he cares about us, and he's going to provide for us always. They heard this word before, something that should have transformed their lives, but yet they're scared. and they're fearful of their lives. They also read this and heard this in Matthew 7, 24 and 26. It says, therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, nor was it founded, or for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. They had heard these words. So now after this event, when they had already heard these wonderful things, they must have been thinking, where am I? Where am I really building my house on the rock? Am I building my house on the sand? So where did the disciples store the words that they had heard? Right? Because this example gives us a showing that the words that they had heard are not right there in their hearts and in their minds. It's stored back a little bit. Because right when they had some confrontation, they didn't remember these words. So we just have to start thinking about it for ourselves, right? When we get into a storm, are God's words right there for us, ready in our memory? These words of that is God is going to be with us. He's going to protect us. He's going to guide us. And you know what? Even if we die, we have hope and we have faith that we're going to, the next thing that we know, we're going to see his beautiful, shining, glorious face. So nothing should trouble us, but we get troubled and we get shaken so easy. There's another story about Jesus being in a boat. Sometimes it's a little odd when you start to write a message and you ask for guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the message originally was being about drifting away in boats and stuff, but it kind of transformed into something else. The Holy Spirit does things like this. But there is another story that is still useful and practical for us to think about and take a look at. And that's the story about when Jesus had to stay behind and pray for a little bit. The disciples took off in the boat, and then Jesus was going to go out and meet them. Well, Jesus decided that he didn't want to walk all the way around the lake, right? So I'm just going to cut through. So he just starts walking on the water. And then the disciples, they see Jesus walking on the water, but they don't know it's Jesus at first, right? They're really scared. They're terrified. So another time we see them when they really don't have on their mind and right there ready for them the things that they have heard because now they're scared. But let's look what happens. We see at the end here, it says Matthew 14, 27 through 29. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter came down out of the boat and he walked on water to go to Jesus. So we see here that the words that Jesus spoke gave Peter enough faith to get up out of the boat and to then walk on water with Jesus. We see that those words that Jesus had given him, that confidence, and Jesus helped him walk on water. But then what happened? He took his eyes off Jesus. And then he started to sink a little bit. He started to notice, I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be able to walk on water, but I am. And then all of a sudden, all these wonderful words that he had heard and the words that had just given him the faith to be able to walk on water, they're gone. Right away, they're gone. And he starts to sink. We know the end of the story, right? And we can lose our faith and our confidence that quick as well, right? Sometimes things go on in our lives and we build up this confidence and we remember the words, and the words of God gives us so much strength that we're able to do these wonderful things accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And then something happens, and the moment we take our eyes off God, we can fall real quick. And we can slide. Sometimes our slide away from God can be a slow drift away. And then sometimes it can be a sinking ship in an instant, right? But that's what happens if we take our eyes off of God and off of Jesus, when we take our eyes off of his word. So there is, I would like to go back to the verse that I had and have continued to have in my mind, because I'm trying to do some personal reflection on that verse in Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So what I have been trying to do is really remember, what were those words? What have I heard? All that I have heard. And give more earnest heed means pay more attention. Get into these words. Grasp them. Hold them. Don't let them go. So that's personally what I'm trying to do. It's a time of reflection. Sometimes the Word of God brings us to these times of reflections where we really need to take a deep look at what we're doing. We need to take a look at what we've seen and what we've heard. We need to take a look and analyze our lives. Have I used these words? Am I using these words? What words have I heard that I've kind of forgotten that I need to get back into my life? Revelation 14:7 says this, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water, and so on. We know what I'm speaking about, right? The three angels' message. This wonderful message of judgment that he is giving us, this warning, all of these signs where we need to get closer to him and embrace him and guide him. And God saying, yes, it's time now. Right, we need to give more earnest heed to these words that we have heard. Just grasp them and hold them. Because there, we have all heard this, right? What I just read in Revelations, the three angels' message, we have all heard this. And these words, a lot of these words have called us to take action and to do things. They've called us to be able to have a closer relationship with God. But that may have been some time ago. Have we refreshed ourselves on these words? Have we began to reflect? And if we believe this word, that there is a judgment that is coming, the judgment is happening, the judgment is coming soon for us, that our Lord and Savior is coming soon for us. Those might be, depending on individually who you are, those might be words that we need to pay a little bit more attention to give more earnest heed to, that there is this judgment coming, that we have a Lord and Savior who is up there, who died for us, who paid the sins of the penalty of sins for us, that is helping us and guiding us, and that this is an event that is happening soon. We probably should be paying a little bit more attention to these words. These words that there is a judgment and there is something happening should be in the forefront of our thinking and our actions and how we interact in our daily lives. So we need to reflect, do our lives really reflect what we have heard, right? We need to take a look because the hour has come. How are our actions? What are we doing? Because I have a feeling that at times there are many of us that can kind of be leaving our salvation up to chance. And we kind of go, I think I'm getting in. Maybe, well, maybe not, right? We don't want to leave this wonderful salvation up to chance. We want to know that we're going to heaven. We all know what we need to do. We're just not doing it. Right? We don't want to leave this salvation up to chance. We don't want to make light of what is going to happen soon. Does anybody believe that this judgment and Jesus is coming back soon? Yeah. So if we believe that, we need to show that. And that starts with putting more attention to the things that we have heard, with the messages that God has given us. There is, I was reading in the book, what was it, Ministry, I think it was Ministry of Healing, that Ellen White talks about a picture that she saw. And this picture was a picture of a bull. And the picture, and I've seen it painted several times, and this picture is a picture of a wonderful bull. And I kind of imagine what happens to this bull, that you know, the owner, the bull is used to working, you know, back in those times. He's used to doing his work. And the owner of the bull goes into the barn and gets up the bull and puts the rope around his neck and guides him up over this beautiful hill. You got beautiful sunny days, some blue skies, some clouds in the sky, and the bull and the owner are having a moment. They're just enjoying the beauty. And then the bull and the owner kind of walk up this little hill, and then they go down this embankment. They grow through a little grove of trees, and as they get to the grove of trees, kind of at the end, the bull stands there, and the owner's there as well. And as that bull is there, he notices that off to his right-hand side, there's a plow, and that plow's ready for work. And on the other side, there's an altar, ready for a sacrifice. And the bull just kind of thinks to himself, and this is what a true Christian will think when you get put in that situation. Between the plow and between the altar, and you think as a Christian, and this bull would think, I'm ready for either one. I'm ready for the sacrifice. If I'm called to sacrifice, to give up my life, to give up what I need, or I'm ready to get out there and work. Either way, I'm good. So this is a picture that Ellen White kind of painted, that she kind of explains that she saw, and I really like that. The image of a bull standing between a plow and an altar, ready for either one. That's what a real Christian looks like. It doesn't matter if we're tired, we're beat up, we're ready for a rest. At any time when our owner comes and asks us, it's time to work, we're ready to work. Any time there's a sacrifice, we're ready for that as well. Because we are strengthened and guided by the words we have once heard, the words that have given us faith. So the question remains, and for you to reflect on, is where are these words and where are all of these things that you have heard in the past? Where do they stand? Where do they sit with you in your heart? Where do they sit with you in your mind? Are they like things that we forget? Or are they like QUC4177-03P? Something I always have right there, memorized. It's not leaving my head. You guys can ask me every day, every Sabbath you see me, I'm still going to remember that number. Right, so where are, I'll just read it to close with this. Hebrews 4:1, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, or we drift away. So thank you so much. May God bless his wonderful people.
Let's welcome the Word of God by singing hymn number 278. Lord Jesus, once you spoke to men, please stand.
To face our minds.
Father, Lord, we have heard so many wonderful things. We have read so many wonderful things. We have seen your hand in action in our lives, Lord. Lord, help us to be able to give more earnest heed. Let us give more attention to the things we've heard. Let us put them into practice, into our lives, Lord. Lord, we know that you are coming one day very soon. We want to be prepared and we want to be ready, Lord. Love us, guide us, and forgive us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.